Assalamu alaikum. This is Maliha Teaches for Muslim Health Talk. What exactly does Muslim Health Talk mean? It means nourishing our body, nourishing our soul, nourishing our mind, and nourishing our heart. And the best way of doing that is following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and instilling it in our daily life. Let's get started. Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma zidni ilman. Oh Allah, please increase us in knowledge. So yes, a few days ago, I had the pleasure of being on Sister Zakia Ali's podcast, Muslim Parents and Spouses. And she had asked me to come in as a guest to speak about how to eat healthy, or, you know, focus on healthy foods for Ramadan and iftar. So just had that recording for you guys to listen to. Hope you guys benefit. Inshallah, happy Ramadan.
Maliha Mahmood. So she is a natural health consultant for over 15 years. She helps Muslim families and individuals find nourishment and balance in their diet, and inshallah, taking them on the road to healing. She has studied many different sciences of natural healing over the years, such as horticulture, TIB, homeopathy, and nutrition. So that's a very extensive bio, and alhamdulillah, I know that I can vouch for Maliha because she has given me so much great tips, and over the years she has shared things that I still use up till today because it has been so beneficial. And so alhamdulillah, she does a lot of research. Whenever I speak to her, she's just like has something else new to say because she's continually studying about these things. So alhamdulillah, I'm so glad you're sharing it with us. So Maliha, before I start, you know, going right into the questions, do you want to tell me anything before I start drilling you with all the things I want to ask?
Not really. Maybe just my own personal background. I can tell you why I'm such an advocate for finding some sort of balance in your life and gaining it from what we eat and what to avoid more than following one specific diet. So I've been through this journey myself over 2 decades, right? We've all had ailments and health issues. And so in my journey, I figured with a lot of research and a lot of classes and studying and testing that there is a way to go on that road of healing. And that is why I feel so compelled to help others out there, especially the Muslim community. I feel like they are in need of it, right? With our diets of or our traditional food that is totally not what should be in our diet. And I understand that we're used to it, but we need to kind of take a step back and look at it and see it for what it is. But before I start, I should have probably said a dua. Rabbi shakhli sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna ilma, which means, O Allah, increase us in knowledge, because it is from Him that we are able to learn things and apply things in our life and gain from them. So ask the questions. Go ahead.
Sure. So I guess I know this is a very basic question, but I think it's really good for us to understand what are the benefits of fasting, because I know sometimes some people can, and I know when I was younger, it was almost like you dread it, but then when you learn the benefits, right, you actually really feel that I know why I'm doing this, and it sort of gives you that motivation to do it the best way. So I thought you could share that, please.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, we know that, mashallah, fasting is one of our fara'ids, right? So it's an obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us. And if we know nothing else, we know that Allah has so much wisdom in each of His fara'ids, right? From zakat, giving alms to others, to prayer every day, 5 times a day for a specific reason. But fasting has also its benefits. And when we look at it in a Muslim perspective and we say, yeah, this is what we have to do, abstain from food, so we know how people feel and we feel the pain of those that don't have, and we're more likely to give zakat. And all the reward that comes with it, of course. That's wonderful, and it does make sense, and it does help us get through fasting for 30 days. But and of course we know that our intention, right? Our intention is supposed to be to fast because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obliged us to do it. But we're human, right? We need certain motivations and certain pushes to kind of allow us to or motivate us to want to fast and get excited about it, especially our young people. So there are a lot of scientific back benefits that have maybe recently come out, but we've known it forever, right? We just by becoming healthy through it. One of the major things is that when we fast, and we fast for about 28 days, we are detoxing our body. It's like a total detox. So while you're avoiding food and drink for 16 plus hour, your body is going through a complete detox and releasing all of its toxins. Of course, your body is waiting for you to consume and put in, right, input healthy foods. So we have to remember that if we want to get the most of out of our detox, we need to follow a healthy intake as well as getting rid of all the toxins, right? We know that if we do it properly, scientifically, it's shown that we can lose weight. And when we're fasting, we actually hold on to muscle. We don't lose the muscle. And if we add in our day just like a breezy 25-minute walk that's not too strenuous, we actually gain muscle from it, and a lot more than we would have if we weren't fasting. Fasting does a lot, there's so many things I can talk about. I think I'll just list it for now so we can go on to all the other questions. But it helps you focus, right? It helps you focus. When you go on an extended time without eating, your brain goes into survival mode. Now, this may sound bad, but it's actually really excellent. Survival mode means that your brain becomes hyper-focused. So it preserves all the energy for whatever the task is at hand that you want to focus on. So instead of like on a regular day where we have so many things on our mind and we have so many things we want to take care of and we feel flustered, when we are fasting, we actually don't feel this way. We focus, we have focus, and we can get something done. We can focus on maybe when the young people are saying, "Oh, wait, no, I can't fast. I have so many exams. I need to hold my energy and be able to do well on the exams." Actually, scientifically, you are better off being on a fast when you are having an exam because then you are able to focus and put all of your energy on those exams only and not worry about other things. You feel younger, and you actually just don't feel younger. But you do you start becoming and looking younger because you go through this cellular rejuvenation, which occurs during your fast. Something called autophagy happens to your body, and autophagy is a process where old cells start eating up. Sorry, old cells are eaten up by the new cells, and it makes the new cells into a more robust, into a more powerful, and more efficient cell. This is why you feel really energized, right? After a week of fasting, you don't feel exhausted or you don't feel like you can't do it. It takes you about 5 days to get into the rhythm. But once you're in the rhythm after a week, you're like, I can take this on for another 2 weeks, 3 weeks for sure. And we know that for sure because most of the Muslim community who fast are not all of them are on the optimal health, but yet they are able to fast for 30 days. So right there is your evidence, right? It increases your lifespan. Duke Medical Research states that the only experimental approach that increased the lifespan of animals with cancer was continuous fast, restricting calories for multiple days at a time. There was actually a 30% increase in their lifespan. So it improves memory and learning because ketosis is burning we go through a process of ketosis after 6 to 8 hours when you sleep, then your body starts going through a process of ketosis, which means that you start burning fat, right? But on our normal days, when we sleep for 6 to 8 hours, we wake up and we start eating. So then we don't go through that process of ketosis, right? But when ketosis happens and it's burning the fat that releases chemicals called ketones in the brain, ketones trigger the release of important molecules, right? And this is really important for learning and memory. A few other things I can think of is, you burn fat without moving, right? You don't have to strenuously exercise. If you do, of course, there's so much more potential in it, right? And you tone up your body, and you not only lose the fat, but when you're fasting, you actually don't have to make that effort of moving so much. So, inshallah, like all of this can motivate us to fast, not just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely first and foremost, but kind of get us started and get us excited.
Wow, you should have told me to bring my notebook so I could write down all that. Alhamdulillah, it was quite extensive and it's very scientific also. And I didn't even know that about the cancer, because I know people who have cancer, they normally don't fast. And I wondered, is it then when we tell our kids, hey, you should have breakfast before going to school because it's going to make you think better? Is that sort of not correct then?
Actually, there's absolutely no research on breakfast being the most important meal of the day, because
Oh
we're
gosh.
told that, right? We're told that, but
Yes.
it's not. It's not. The last thing you want to do is have a large breakfast or anything, have a heavy breakfast where you are now forcing your digestive system to work harder and expend more energy, the energy that you actually need to move on and get through and start your day, right? So I personally do not have breakfast first thing in the morning. If I have anything, I'll have a warm cup of water with maybe a spoon of apple cider vinegar, which is really good for your system first thing in the morning. And I drink as much water as I can. And I like having warm or hot water because it's a lot gentler on your body. And that keeps me fine for until like around 10, 10:30, and then I'll have a really wholesome meal. I'm assuming that breakfast was made up because of all of the sugary, cereal and pancakes and waffles and sugary stuff that needs to be sold, right? To have another market of being able to sell all these things. Back in the days, our great grandparents had 2 meals a day. There was no 3 meals a day, and there was no snacking in between. So, I'm not a fan of breakfast unless it's called iftar. So you know what I mean, or suhoor, and you're opening a fast by doing it. And it's I don't believe it's actually good for you if you add in sugary things, even coffee, if you're gonna add like so many spoons of sugar.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess also it depends on certain people because I'm also not a big breakfast person and I will basically, I cannot eat so early. And I notice some of my kids are like that too. But you're right, definitely no sugar in the morning because then you're going to get that crash, right? You're going to get that crash in the afternoon. And I think that's, and also even with caffeine, I notice if I go, I actually cut out coffee already. So I used to have a cup of coffee sometimes too, and that would last me right up till lunchtime because I have cream in my coffee. But with Ramadan coming, to prevent migraines, I also cut that out. So it's like we do need to do some preparation for Ramadan, even though we can't just jump into it because the worst thing, I think you're the one who told me this, Malia, was that don't shock your body. Right? Because you can't just now go do a whole lot of different things in Ramadan. You got to sort of do things gradually, right?
Right, exactly. When we're asked to fast, we're just abstaining from food and water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not making it difficult for us for where we can't do it. He's not like introducing a totally new fad diet that our body is not used to, right? Our body is used to a certain way of eating for decades. Now, if we bring in some sort of diet all at once and we go cold turkey, we will have a shock in our body. We will have some sort of side effect that might harm us. So I'm not a big fan of diets. I advocate bringing in one change, taking out one negative thing, and slowly getting your body used to and finding out really what your body needs. Now, when we talk about breakfast and we want to know, is it really natural, right? Is it something we should have? If you ask your 5-year-old or your 4-year-old or your 2-year-old, who are so much closer to the fitrah, who are so much closer to innately just knowing what's good for them, what they really want, without having all of the advertisement around them, little kids will never wake up and like beg for food, right? Never ask for breakfast. Most of them will avoid breakfast. And moms are going around wondering what's wrong with their child. There's nothing wrong with their child. They're more in tune with their body than we are. We're actually out of tune because we have been told, we have been sort of brainwashed to understand this is what we need, this is what we should do, this is what we should eat, because there's so much out there just in our face. So I'm sorry, I lost track of my thought, but that is that's definitely but if you have your coffee, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you avoid the sugar that actually will give you a negative impact throughout your day.
Well, I'm just not wanting to get that caffeine withdrawal, but alhamdulillah. I mean, if you can do things and it's not going to cause you a hardship, then why not, right?
Right,
So
right.
maybe you can give us so I think most of us want to know what type of foods are good at Suhoor, and I'm definitely going to ask you that for iftar as well. But let's start with Suhoor. What would you suggest? Which
So
foods and why?
for Suhoor, I would, if you feel like you need, definitely eat something for Suhoor, right? If you feel like you'll be okay, at least wake up and get that reward of drinking water and having a little bit something. But if you know for sure that you need that meal for Suhoor, and otherwise in the middle of the day you're going to be hungry, make sure you eat something that is light. Right, light in the sense of it's not too protein dense, because when you have something that's protein dense, your body has to work extra hard to digest it, and you don't want to be awake for the next few hours because you need those few hours of sleep. You've been standing on Tarawih, you need those few hours so you can get up the next morning and go to work and pray your Fajr and not miss any of those things, right? So you want to focus on things. And but if you know you need the protein, then eggs are definitely something really good to consume. Eggs are very easy to digest, and they have lots of protein, and they're really good for you, and they keep you full. So that's one thing that I would totally suggest. Another thing would be, like, if you feel eggs are too much, you're just not a fan of eggs, try oatmeal with chia seeds, fruits, and some nuts, right? You want to add the chia seed because chia seed, you want to put it in there, and you want to add some sort of liquid form, right? So you want to either add milk into your oatmeal or water beforehand. So you have to do it like 15-20 minutes before, and you can do it right before you go to sleep and make this little mixture and leave it there. And chia seed is filled with the nutrients that your and vitamins that your body needs. The oatmeal will keep you regular, right? So when we're fasting, because we don't take in a lot of water, sometimes we become constipated and we don't feel well, and we don't want that, right? And we can't always control what we eat for iftar, but we can always control what we eat for suhoor. So adding oatmeal to your suhoor will keep you regular, and you won't have to deal with those bloating and difficult issues, right? And you add the fruits to give it some sweetness, right? So you can avoid sugar. And the nuts are there for protein, and as long as you keep it balanced, that is a perfect like perfect meal to have in Sahur. Another thing you can do is if you've made soup for iftar and it's a wholesome soup with veggies and beans that you've soaked overnight and maybe a little bit of meat in there and even some bread with it, you can warm up that soup that's left over and enjoy it for Sahur. A lot of people will say, what about salads or greens, right? I would keep it. I would eat a little bit of greens during your fast, because taking in too much greens, it is difficult on your body because your body has a difficult time breaking it because it has raffinose, which is a product that your body does not have the enzymes to break down. And so that's why when someone says, I'm going to eat X amount, so I'm going to eat greens and I'm going to eat salad all day long, unless their body is able to break it down and they're okay, it can cause a lot of gassiness and bloating. And it doesn't necessarily fill you up unless you have other things with it. So if you want to eat a salad, yeah, make sure that you have some nuts, some seeds that are nutrient dense, some dried fruit in there, and then that would, a little bit of meat would be okay too, but not too much. And those are the four really, great, wholesome, like really complete meals that I can think of.
Wow, there's so many things you said. It sort of contradicts a few of the things I had learned, and there's so much information out there for us that I think that we are in some way confused, because I did not know when you mentioned about maybe having too much protein in the morning. It sort of won't make you be it will ha make you have so much energy and you won't be able to sleep. It's so funny. It's like food is such a science. We should actually learn that and what it does to our body. And that, subhanAllah, should be like take we should take a parenting course, a marriage course, and a healthy food course, and a first aid course when we
Exactly.
become parents. Like we just thrown into these roles. And we're supposed to figure it out. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? No, like we study to become other things and to have a career, but the most important things in our lives, we're just like, we in the dark. So, okay, that
That
was
is
really
so true. No, that
good.
is really true. I mean, mashallah, like I think because of our lifestyle, we don't have the time, but yet we're thrown into this. When we get married, we're thrown into this very rewarding position, but very overwhelming position as well,
Wow,
right? As
I'm
mothers
sorry.
and caretakers. And it's not just your kids, it's the whole household you're in charge of. And then all of a sudden, you need to start learning how to take care of this stage of life and then that stage of life. And then all you
Oh,
forget about
subhanAllah.
yourself. And so I feel like I've been through this journey for so many decades that I feel compelled to just put that info out there instead of having so everyone go and do the research, right? And your position is awesome as well because you are able to guide the young that are either getting married or want to get married or just married and letting them know, hey, I don't want you to have those issues that I had. I want you to have a balanced marriage and life. And so I hope that all the Muslim women out there out listening will come and take advantage and follow us for, because it's not just that it's not just info that we're giving, it's info that we know, that we trust, that we've tested and tried, and we want to put it out there. And as Muslims, we're not just obligated, but our intention is to help and to provide guidance, because that is how people used to learn back in the days. It wasn't from someone the same age as you. It should always be that you know someone a couple of decades or older. And even though I don't want to admit it, I am getting old. My kids will always tell me as they're adults now. So it's our position to give down to the younger generations, right?
I so agree, because in the modern societies, the elders have we sort of dump them in institutions too, because they make our lives harder, when in actual fact they can give us so much advice. Because what I've learned is I could read a million books, I could take a million courses. What has helped me the most is my experiences, and then the other things supplemented. So it's so true. So we have a quick question here from
Sure.
Sister Tahira Maslima. She says, would you consider watermelon juice and coconut water for hydration as a good option?
Definitely, watermelon juice and coconut water is definitely a good source of hydration. Now, if you have watermelons, can be on the sweet side if depending on what season you were in, but for the most part, it has a lot of water, and that's what you want to take in when you open your fast, right? So we haven't spoken about what foods we should take in when we do our iftar, but yes, those are great options.
Okay, so I guess the next question I was going to ask is what foods are good for iftar, and which will make us not feel, because I know some people, and I've been in this situation before, you eat your favorite foods because you feel like you sacrificed the whole day and then you can't move after that. So maybe you can tell us how to avoid that.
So yeah, definitely for iftar, when you want to open your fast, I know it's if you set your table and you put all your delicious heavy and protein dense and your fried foods and all the things that you've been craving all day long, you're going to go and take them and start eating them first, right? But the problem is that 75% of Americans are dehydrated. And you add on top of that you're fasting and you haven't drank water for 16 plus hours, you're going to definitely be in that 75%, if not worse, right? So what you want to do is you don't want to set your table up at, with food first, right before suhoor. You want to take that 15 minutes instead, sit and make dua, right? Because that's the time that you get your duas are accepted. And instead, just have, like Sister Tahira said, watermelon juice would be great. Coconut juice would be great as well. Coconut water. I prefer something warm or hot. So I always have hot water or hot tea with a little bit of like cardamom or something to make it enjoyable. And I have it ready. And yes, it's we're always told that dates are good, but I prefer to hold the dates off towards the end as a treat, to help you digest your food and balance your body. So I would focus on just drinking water. And like I said, if you want to make it taste better, you can put fruits the night before in your water, set them in the fridge so you get a little bit of a sweet taste to it, right? And you get the benefit of the fruits. But I highly recommend trying to get your body used to warm or hot water, no matter what temperature we're living at, because your body is really hot inside, and so you want to make it easy for it to you want to be gentle on your stomach, right? First thing after opening a fast. So get in at least a cup of water before you head off to pray. And I don't recommend eating anything before you pray your Maghrib, right? Take your time, pray your Maghrib, allow your body to know that you had water inside, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, one third water, one third air, one third food. So even though our nafs, we want to listen to our nafs, and just our eyes are the first things that want to eat things. And if we allow that to happen, we will like stuff our face before Maghrib prayer. And then a couple of hours later, we'll feel horrible. So let's focus on taking the one third water in before Maghrib and even after Maghrib. So now you have 2 cups of water, right? Then you can sit down and calmly you can focus. By that time, your body ha like the messages have gone inside your stomach has interacted with your brain, and now you know that you are not going to grab the first thing you see. You're going to take your time. You're going to think about what you really want to eat. You're going to make good choices, not bad ones. And you're going to reach for things that are actually healthy for you. But you have to take that step and say, I will not eat anything before Maghrib. And even after Maghrib, I'm going to try to drink some more food, drink some more water or some beverage so that I can slowly ease my body into food, right? And then when we do start eating, it's good to focus on things that are gentle for your body, right? I would highly recommend bone broth or any sort of soup. Bone broth has a lot of amazing benefits that we can go on and on forever. And it's really easy to make at home because I know that this is a huge fad among the non-Muslims. But when you go out there, you can't necessarily purchase the bone broth that they have, right? They don't sacrifice the same meat. So I don't know when it's kind of iffy. Can we take the meat from the bone as well? So when you make your meal, whatever it is, and you have bones left over, you just throw them in a bag, toss them in the freezer, and then another time put them in your Instapot, set them for a slow cook for a day. You have the most amazing bone broth, ever, with the highest nutrition. So you could set that in your fridge and just warm it up. So bone broth is great. Filling up some sort of liquid, whether it's milk or yogurt with chia seed, is also very n incredibly rich in nutrients, right? These things that I'm suggesting is not something new. It's something that has been tried and tested. Even like the chia seeds, it's been around since the Mayan diets, right? And we know, and they have been. They've tutored their health for the benefit of, from the benefit of these for centuries. And so why not learn from our ancestors, right? And instead of trying to create or a new wheel, which won't really help us, right? And then after having a little bit of soup or a little bit of liquid with chia seed or other things, then you can go on to fruits. And I know some people will feel like, well, what's a great way of taking in fruits? Smoothies are great because you can mix it up, fix it the way you like it, add in a natural sweetener if you want, put some almonds and nuts in there to keep you full. So then you can have your meal, whatever that is. By that time, you won't want to eat a huge meal. You'll have cravings, you'll satisfy your cravings, but you'll keep it small. And one of the really good tips, my teacher, Ustada Amara, may Allah bless her, she said, because I'm not a big fan of pakoras and samosas and fried stuff, but I know the Muslim community loves those things. You see them in the masjid, you see them everywhere. I would save that one. She said she would make sure that she would have one samosa or one pakora for each person. And after eating all these foods that are good for you, she would go for that one piece of samosa, one piece of pakora, because now you're treating yourself because you've done so well, not just through the fast, but in terms of opening your fast and taking care of your body. And this is not something that I've come up with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his hadith by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu who has narrated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are two blessings in which people incur loss, which means that they allow it, they lose from it, they don't hold on to it. And this was kind of like, I want to let you guys know so you don't do this, right? And these two things were good health and your time, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us good health, and it's our body and our health is in as an amana, right? And we want to hold on to that good health, and we want to take care of it because we're going to be responsible, we're going to be accountable for it. Just like if we were to treat our friend or our spouse oppressively, we're going to be asked about it, right? Same thing with our body. If we abuse our body, because it didn't come abused, it came perfect and beautiful, and worked really amazing. If you look at the body and how it works, you're just amazed by the creation. You automatically know that there's a Lord. But if we abuse it, we're also going to be accountable. We're also going to be have to answer to Allah for not taking care of it. It's an amana. So the two things that the Prophet ﷺ warned us of not of incurring loss was time and health. So when we're fasting, let's not abuse our body when we're opening our fast and we're breaking our fast and eating our iftar. Let's continue to worship Allah through opening our fast, right?
Yeah, jazakallah khair. That's a good reminder. And I think I know you mentioned about not breaking with dates, and I think that stood out for me because it's a sunnah, and I thought maybe it was good. I don't I mean me also I don't love dates, but I eat it because it's a sunnah. So I wondered, is that maybe because, and I know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said we can break with water.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think also people take like it's sunnah food, so you have to have it. But if it's almost like, I know some people they can't even eat dates because it affects them. So it's like it's almost like a guide, right? But if it doesn't if it doesn't go with maybe your digestive system, and we never know why, right? It's not like we're doing anything wrong. I just wanted to ask you that question because I feel like
So
that might be something
yeah,
that.
no, really great question. So when in terms of dates, okay, so if we lived in a time where we didn't have a lot of food, right? We didn't have a lot of rich food. We didn't always eat. We weren't overweight. We needed the amazing nutrients and vitamins and minerals and great stuff that dates offers, because dates are one of those amazing things that you need in your diet. But and it helps us digest things. It's great for our eyes, it's great for our memory, it's great for our bones, it's great for a lot of things. Dates are amazing treats to have. But like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one date, right? Or open it with a date. What do? We have a couple of dates, and then we eat our food, and then we have sugary treats, and then we have more dates, right? So dates are great, but our diet is not, we're not the healthiest people in the world, and our diet is not the best diet or the ideal diet for our body, right? We can still have our date. How about we use it as a dessert towards the end? How about we use it to help us digest our food? I am a total advocate for having one or two dates a day, as long as you don't have diabetes, as long as you don't have some sort of yeast infection, as long as you don't have some sort of health issue that will actually harm, the date will harm you, and you could avoid that and have something else instead, right? So it depends on your health issues and where you are. If you want to get the most out of fasting, and you want to be able to detox and take out the toxins that you've incurred for decades, then avoiding something that might just add on to the sugar load, because it is filled, it's 60 grams of sugar per date. It's not a bad thing to avoid it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I remember a time he offered dates to everyone, but he told Ali radiallahu anhu to avoid it and not take it because he was not feeling well. So if you should know yourself, and you should know, is this going to really harm me? Is this going to help me? Am I going to stop at one or two, or am I going to continue to do it? That's the most important thing, right?
Wow, that was a good clarification. I think we just sometimes blindly do things because we think that's what we're supposed to do. I know when I would not break my fast with a date, I'd feel so guilty. But sometimes I just did not feel like having a heavy date. You know, it's like you said, it's my aunts used to always talk about the heat in the body, and I never really understood it. I thought it's like some traditional thing, but I hear it more and more, and it's so fascinating. But thank you so much for your time, Malia. I know I the only question I think I wanted to ask was what foods to avoid in iftar, but I think you already mentioned that, right? Was there anything else that maybe?
There are foods you can avoid for iftar. So I think, I mean, we could talk about this for hours and
I
hours because there's
know.
so much to talk about. But if you're short on time, it's totally okay. I want to just let everyone know that to take advantage of, first of all, your site and all the info that you put out there, selflessly, you know, it's such an such a charity and to help others. And I think everyone should support you. And you're coming out with a book, mashallah. You know,
Thank
I'm
you.
so looking forward to getting to read it, and maybe have like a dozen so I can give out to any of my cousins or friends that are going to get married, because that's something really is it's important, right? People need to know, people need to educate themselves, not just go blindly out there and pick something and start learning from them. I mean, you're following the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have knowledge in what you're writing. Why not, right? Why not support people like you? And I hope that people that many whoever's listening or whoever knows does support us, because we are making an effort to help. Right, so subscribe, follow us. Our intention is really pure to help the ummah and bring them to a healthier and happier and more balanced life.
Oh, thank you
So,
so
I
much.
mean, we can go on forever, but I feel like there's just so
A
much,
lot.
right?
Yeah, there's a lot. No, true. And I know, our attention spans, especially are not. I notice when rooms go on for like, and I say rooms because I'm mostly in a clubhouse, you can see. I notice that, when it gets an hour, we're sort of like, okay, it's a lot of information, because I
It
think
is.
there's a bit of information overload online.
Yes.
And so thank you for joining me today on this topic. Alhamdulillah, I think this is a very important topic, because especially as busy parents, we don't take enough time for healthy eating. And I think sometimes we need someone to hold our hand, and that's why I think we can't get enough of this. I was actually watching a few videos yesterday myself of what's good foods to stay with you, So, befriending us, and we also ask you to please check out our sites. Mine is at zakiaali.com.
And you guys all know where mine is, MuslimHealthTalk.com. So inshallah, you've all benefited. Keep us in your du'as when you open your fasts. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for joining me, Maliha Teaches, for our Muslim Health Talk. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and so much more. All of our links can be found on Linktree Muslim Health Talk. Assalamu alaikum.